You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sometimes I wonder how it's possible to cram any more sports news into a 24-hour period. And actually, in our case, it's only 20 hours because we got off the air 6 a.m. Eastern time, 3 a.m. Pacific time. And now here we are, 20 hours later, and I can't imagine what else could possibly happen over that stretch in sports. Incredible the amount of news coming out of the world of football, and we're going to sort through as much of it as possible, not to mention a Monday Night Football game. In case you were wondering, it's not easy being green. Hasn't been easy being green for a really long time. Although the Jets are trying to go incognito and change the color of their uniforms, they're still green. Kermit is still green. Jets fans are still green. So it was a rough Monday night for the Jets, but fantastic for the Browns and for Odell Beckham Jr. personally to get that W. And it wasn't perfect. Let's be honest. The Browns have had a rough entry into 2019. Yes, a win is a win is a win is a win. Their offense didn't look great in the first half either. And so they're still sorting it out as well and also have a couple of injury question marks of their own. So we'll get through Monday Night Football, get you all of the reaction, and then we'll get to all of the quarterback news from the last 20 hours, plus a big trade in the NFL. Minka Fitzpatrick asked and received a trade out of Miami, which isn't a surprise, into the Steel City, Pittsburgh, which is a bit of a surprise considering a lot of people, you know who you are burying the Steelers for the rest of this season. I guess Mike Tomlin and the front office don't agree that the season is DOA without Ben Roethlisberger. So there's a lot to talk about, and that's just football. Also, Major League Baseball, which we don't talk about much on Sunday nights because of the NFL. And with everything going on early in the season in the NFL, you can understand why it's all-consuming, those 4 hours that we do when we first get here to start the work week. And so to catch up on Major League Baseball, I will say this. The group of contenders for wild card spots, for division titles, it's getting smaller. It's getting a little tight. There's not much wiggle room left. In fact, there aren't many games left. Think about the various races that are going on, not just for division titles, but also for playoff spots, and then certainly for the wild cards. Most teams right now are at 150-ish games, which means we're talking about 11, 12, 13 games left in the regular season. Woo! It was a long, hot summer. In fact, in some places, it's still long and hot summer weather. But October is coming, baby. I love October so much. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our second show of the work week from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Oh, where to start? Where to start? First of all, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Lots of tweeting about football, or as my mother calls it, Twittering. Also, my mom's really ticked. I don't know that she was focused on watching Monday Night Football, but it was on at her home in Houston because her husband Mike was watching football. And she sends me this angry text with one of those red angry faced emojis. I don't know why the Browns can't win when I pick them. I mean, that is kind of the idea behind professional sports. It's a guess. When you make your picks or your predictions, and most often it's not even an educated guess. You're just picking by the seat of your pants. And so my mom's take that the Browns won in week number two, but not in week number one when she had him in her survivor pool. But I've given her control of my Survivor Island picks the rest of the way, however long we last. And she's very proud of herself for picking Baltimore in week number two. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Love to talk football with you. And also on our Facebook page, I've got what I think will be a fun Twizzler Tuesday question. Minus the Twizzlers. I haven't had any Twizzlers in a long time. The diet does not allow for Twizzlers. Blech. I hate Weight Watchers and I hate dieting. However, it's working, so you know. Anyway, our Twizzler Tuesday question is inspired by TV. Who doesn't love TV? In fact, we can call it TV Tuesday. That's a little awkward. Never mind, we'll stick with Twizzler Tuesday. And so we'll get to that question as well coming up. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. So it was lost on no one, absolutely no one, except for maybe my mom, that this was Odell Beckham Jr.'s return to MetLife Stadium. Obviously, he did not play for the New York Jets, the opponent for the Browns on Monday night, but he did spend the early stages of his career at MetLife Stadium, and there is a connection with the Jets because it was the defensive coordinator Greg Williams' responsibility to try to slow him down. And we talked about their history last week. Of course, Greg was passed over for the Cleveland Browns head coaching job in favor of Freddie Kitchens. So lots of strings attached for OBJ and Monday Night Football.
Second down, they're behind the chains. Second and 12, snap back, he's got it. Looking middle, looking far right, going down the right sideline, and a one-handed grab by Beckham, but he is out of bounds. And now they're going to say he's got it inside the five at the four. What a catch by Beckham with his right hand.
If you missed it tonight, you'll see it on TV tomorrow, that's for sure.
Here's Mayfield throwing, and it's Odell Beckham Jr. in the clear. 35, 40, he's to the 50, he's running to the 40, he's going into the end zone. 10, 5, touchdown, he's arrived back in the end zone at MetLife Stadium.
Those are some fun calls by Jim Donovan on the Browns radio network. So the one-handed catch was kind of fun. I don't know if it was the same end of the field. Was it the same end of the field as the catch he made against Dallas his rookie year, Monday Night Football? I mean, that is the kind of thing that you'd think I would have looked up beforehand, but it just dawned on me to ask. But Kevin and Chris are telling me that it was the same end of the field, so that's pretty cool. Thank you for knowing that. It's the kind of things that really a sports talk show host should know automatically. Anyway, really neat to see that one-handed grab in the first quarter. Fantastic. He wasn't quite prone or levitating like he was against Dallas Monday Night Football going back to his rookie season, but it was pretty amazing. Most of his body is out of bounds by the time he makes that catch, but of course it's the feet that matter. And so he pulls in this phenomenal grab, and then we get to see some video of him warming up in the pregame and kind of dazzling the fans who are in the end zone to watch. He does definitely have an incredible talent. And then who could blame the New York Jets defense if they're worn out? He got in the middle of a group of, I think it was five different defenders and just split the middle, a quick slant, and then just to the house. I think what I saw on social media is the next gen stat that he was at 21 and a half miles per hour. So a little bit faster than Julio Jones on Sunday Night Football, but pretty amazing to see. And again, the Jets defenders were worn out at this point. I thought it was maybe foreshadowing, but also accurate. When they had Trevor Siemian mic'd up on Monday Night Football before he got hurt, they caught him saying something along the lines of, "We really need to help our defense out." And that's true. The offense was not on the field very long, especially not in the first half. And so, as you can imagine, with the time of possession being dominated by the Cleveland Browns offensively, how much pressure that puts on the defense, right? You're just out there and you're exhausted and you're not really getting a blow. And every time you sit down, you maybe get a few seconds and then you have to turn around and get up again because your offense has gone three and out. So I can understand why they were worn out, why they were flat, and why they were chasing at that point. And so it was dynamic. It was an incredible moment for Odell Beckham Jr. No doubt. I don't know why this came to mind, but the, and I don't even remember exactly what show it was, but you guys remember, no, you're way too young. And I only remember my mom watching the show Dynamite. It was one of those shows from, was it Sanford and Son? Okay, so not a show that I ever watched myself a lot, but I remember it used to be on my, maybe my grandparents watched it. I don't know, but that was what came to mind is the connection between these two. With Baker Mayfield and his ability to chuck the ball and extend plays, his creativity, Odell Beckham Jr. obviously has a great speed and the ability to work angles. So you'll see that a lot with him. He can work an angle and he will come back to the football. He'll help a quarterback out. If he feels like helping a quarterback out, there's always that portion of it. But their relationship will get better and better. And I do not mean off the field. I mean their on-field relationship, their chemistry, their rhythm, their timing will get better and better.
I'm sure it'll be better next week than it is this week. But, you know, both of them work extremely hard on their each of their crafts. And they'll continue to do that. And, you know, they'll get better with knowing each other a little bit more as we go along.
To be honest, I'm just focused on where I'm going now. And God has really done a lot for me in my life, especially recently in the past 6 months. So just kind of moving forward, it was just kind of like closing a chapter today. It really was. It was special for me to be able to come here. It was more special to get a win. It was special to have, you know, a pretty good game. But we're back at it tomorrow. We got a tough team to play this week. So it's just time to get back to work.
We absolutely need to play better. I think that's the biggest thing is not losing sight of that a win is a win, especially on the road, and we needed this one. But, you know, field goals early on, we'll take points, but at the same time, we need to be able to finish those drives. And so, yeah, we need to play better.
Baker Mayfield makes a good point. They did settle for field goals early on, and let's be honest, this performance does not beat the Los Angeles Rams next week. So they had a game against the Jets, which is on their schedule. They can't change anything about that. You play the hand that you're dealt. I say this about college football all the time. The teams, while the schools generally do control some of their schedule, they can't control who's in their conference. They can't decide who they play and when. Those things are set years before some of these guys even get on campus. And so the Browns can only play the schedule that is in front of them. And so they catch the Jets at the right time. They're not only without Sam Darnold, but then they're without Trevor Siemian, who was in fact starting his first game in a year and a half, but at least had been prepared for this. This is the first game active for Luke Falk. The first one he's active in his entire NFL career, which isn't very long, but I mean, good for him. He went in and he tried to do what he could do, which was a lot of feeding Le'Veon Bell. But if you're watching the Cleveland Browns, you know that that performance does not beat the Rams. Next week, Sunday Night Football, that performance doesn't beat the Rams. Still a few kinks to work out offensively. I don't think it's, what did Baker say last week, throwing us in the garbage? I mean, come on, let's not get melodramatic. No team starts out the year ready to win a title, and the Browns are learning how to win. And Freddie Kitchens is learning how to be a head coach. None of those things come automatically. And so there are some kinks to work out. I think they still are figuring out their identity as well. What do they want to do with the football? Baker, 19 of 35 for 325 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. It's a process. It's always a process. And while the Browns are working through it, they did lose David Njoku, their tight end, to concussion protocol. But they still have a lot of their main pieces. Although if Myles Garrett keeps hitting people the way that he does, he might be on the shelf for a game. But the Browns are in a good spot. Now the schedule gets a little bit tougher. Listen to this schedule for the Browns coming up. Against the Rams at home in the dog pound. That's next Sunday night. The following week, on the road at the Ravens, their first game inside the AFC North. Then they are in the Bay Area to take on the 49ers. Niners may not be undefeated by then, but they look a lot better than they did last year. So back-to-back road games, first in Baltimore, then in San Francisco. Then they take on the Seahawks. Then they go back-to-back at the Patriots and at the Broncos. And while I know the Broncos may very well be winless at that point or may have won a game, the point is Denver's an extremely difficult place to play. And so that first half schedule for the Browns is a gauntlet. So they got to figure it out. They got to figure it out quickly. No one's going to be happy to see them. Hey, we'd love for you to be a great topic of conversation in the NFL in 2019. But we're not going to help you get there. All right, coming up next, the latest in QB news. Man, it was a brutal Monday for the most important position on the football field. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap the deck. Bane, right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake, looking, floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! And with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Brees from the shotgun has time. Guns it down the middle, and he's going to score!
Goff stands in. He whips it to the two. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling, falling down chest high, heavily covered touchdown catch.
Oh, baby, what a throw by Stafford!
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
And there is so much QB news. Man, it was a rough Monday for some big name, high profile starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And even the backup for the New York Jets got bit with a nasty injury. So, trying to sort through all of it. And we'll find out what it means for these teams as we move forward through the season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you're watching Monday Night Football in the second quarter, you saw what appears to be a devastating, extremely painful ankle injury for Trevor Siemian, who was the backup to Sam Darnold until Darnold got mono last week. So I have no idea how Siemian was walking on that ankle. If you saw the replay, and I watched it one time and could not watch it again, his ankle was twisted in ways that ankles are not supposed to twist. And yet he walked. He walked to the locker room on his own. Really incredible. Well, pressed into duty was second-year QB Luke Falk, who actually was on the practice squad mere hours ago. And this was the first game of his NFL career in which he was active. And so he was out there pressed into duty with really not much notice at all. He went 20 of 25 for 198 yards and a couple of sacks.
I think we had some positive plays out there. I think we got some real drives going. It's just in those critical moments, we got to find a way to convert and score some points. So I think some real building blocks in the sense of we made some real positive plays, had a few explosives, but ultimately you just got to finish at the end.
Falk is a product of Washington State, and if that rings a bell, well, it should. That is the school that also gave us Gardner Minshew. Now, Minshew is a rookie who's starting in place of Nick Foles in Jacksonville. Falk came out of Washington State the year before, so he was drafted in 2018. But what now? I mean, the Jets don't have many options. Adam Gase is supposed to be this guy to work with quarterbacks. It's why he was brought in. And while Darnold's season is not over, Trevor Siemian's likely could be. I mean, it's a very thin quarterback room now for New York.
We're going to have to look at these guys, like all our guys, and just see who's doing their job, who's not. Do we have to move pieces around? Do we have to kind of change some things up? I thought Luke did a really good job tonight. You know, we started off kind of slow. I was just trying to somewhat ease him into the game a little bit. You know, he was on practice squad yesterday.
So Adam Gase talking about what was his third string quarterback, very likely to be the starter moving forward. And even as I was talking about the schedule for the Cleveland Browns, the Jets schedule is no easier. If you have not taken a look at it, it includes a road game at the Patriots in week 3, and then on the road against the Eagles in week number 4. Or no, wait, do they have a... No, they have a bye. They have a bye in week four. So week five, they're back on the road at the Eagles. And then they take on the Cowboys and the Patriots again in back-to-back weeks. So that takes you a month down the road. Will Sam Darnold be ready by then? I mean, there's going to be a tough re-entry for him anyway because he really can't do... Forget football activity. He can't do anything while he has mono. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The news about Ben Roethlisberger, the worst that you could imagine. The Steelers quarterback will have surgery on his right elbow, and he is out for the season. He complained of arm soreness after the opener at New England, but you could really see him shaking that arm on the field yesterday when we found out the news after an MRI on Monday. On CBS Sports HQ, NFL insider Pete Prisco ties a bow on the Steelers season. He doesn't have much hope for it.
When you have a quarterback of this stature, and there are only a few of them in the league, you know, you got Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Patrick Mahomes, a handful, that if they go down, your season is over. And this is one of those situations. I'm not going to say that Mason Rudolph can't play good football because he can, but Ben Roethlisberger is one of those guys that carries a team when things aren't going well. And Mason Rudolph just simply cannot do that.
And part of it's experience, part of it's not having access to that data bank of wisdom that you get from being out there in all these situations, the extra reps. Roethlisberger, by the way, called the injury devastating in a post, a statement that he released on social media. He says he plans to return. He's not retiring. He will finish out the contract that he's got with the Steelers, which he had said he would previously, and that runs for another 2 years after this one. It's really interesting to hear Larry Fitzgerald, future Hall of Fame wide receiver, now with the Cardinals, on Westwood One before Monday Night Football. Jim Gray immediately asked him about the injuries to both Ben Roethlisberger and Drew Brees and what this means for a football team.
It brings a lot of sadness to you. I mean, me and Ben came in together in the 2004 class, been close ever since then, and it hits close to home when, you know, it's guys that you know so well and are friends, and even with Drew's thumb injury, you know, he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with that. I mean, so it sucks, you know, for guys who are getting banged up, but it's an unfortunate part of our business.
For sure, and it was a tough weekend to be a QB1, or in Simeon's case, a QB2. Westwood One with the pregame show, Larry Fitzgerald, Tom Brady, Joe Namath, actually. You'll hear from them a little bit later on. The Drew Brees injury is not as serious as Ben Roethlisberger, but Brees will also likely need surgery. Apparently, he's getting a second opinion before they decide the best course of action moving forward. But the 40-year-old is out at least 6 weeks with the New Orleans Saints because of a torn ligament in the thumb on that throwing hand, and we all saw it. He's a guy that can't stand to be on the sidelines. Absolutely can't stand to watch. Do you remember when Klay Thompson got hurt during the NBA playoffs? There was one game in which he had to sit out, and he was so miserable watching from the Warriors bench. This was before he tore his ACL. That's Drew Brees. Miserable watching from the sidelines. And to this point in his career, he's only missed one game with injury in these 14 seasons that he's been with the New Orleans Saints. So it's just, it's a rough day overall for starting QBs. Something that's interesting about the Saints schedule, though, is I've been talking about the Browns and then the Jets. Even if Brees doesn't return until week 10, so we just finished up week 2. Let's say they give him 8 weeks plus a bye. Even if he doesn't return until week 10, he still could lead the Saints in 5 of their 6 divisional games. How about that? Just a way the schedule is stacked up for the New Orleans Saints. So he still could be the starter for the games that matter most when it comes to getting a playoff spot, winning your division. Now, obviously, if they lose all the rest of them, that may not matter. But there's some faith in Teddy Bridgewater. The Saints brought him back and are paying him more than $7 million this year. He's in a free agent year. He's got a lot of starting experience. Good athleticism. And so they're riding or dying. They're not dying. They're riding with Teddy Bridgewater. But Brees is expected to be back. Let's say it's 2 months. Still a good chunk of season after that. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. A major trade for a top line starting defender. That happened during Monday Night Football, so we'll get to that coming up next. Thanks for joining us After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Every week, you got to put your energy and your effort towards the next opponent because this, you know, you take your eye off that team and you start worrying about some other things, and you lose a little bit of the preparation that you need to, that you're going to need for the following week. So that'll be something you'll hear from me, you know, on a weekly basis. You learn, you know, from both wins and losses, and we just try to make the corrections, you know, in either case, and try to move on, get better, improve, and really move on to the next opponent.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of first-year head coach Brian Flores of the Miami Dolphins. And boy, he has accepted that role of bad cop. Like it or not, right now he is the voice and the face that the locker room sees and hears. And it's a mess. There was a report, actually multiple reports, that came out of South Florida after their season opening loss to the Ravens, 59-10, that indicated multiple players wanted out. Multiple players were asking out, wanting to jump ship, not wanting to be part of this rebuild, or as some fans would call it, tanking, this tanking job. Not all of them have been publicly named, but Minka Fitzpatrick is one who had expressed to the team and had made it public through his representation that he wanted out. And his wish was granted on Monday during the football game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The number 11 overall pick in the 2018 draft is now a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so Brian Flores and the Dolphins front office are shipping this defensive back, whether safety or cornerback, that's kind of the issue, right? Because he was unhappy playing multiple positions, and that unhappiness exacerbated by the idea that this could be a brutal season for the Dolphins. In return, Miami gets a first-round draft pick, and then the Steelers and Dolphins are swapping a couple of later picks in the 2020 draft. Listen to this. The Dolphins now have three first-round picks and 2 seconds next spring. Sounds a lot like the Oakland Raiders, huh? Or even the Cleveland Browns. They had a ton of picks. John Dorsey had done the same thing, trying to stockpile picks. Minka Fitzpatrick headed to Pittsburgh from the Dolphins, which is interesting timing. And I saw a lot of people on social media questioned the wisdom of trading for Minka Fitzpatrick and giving up a first-round draft pick the day after you've lost your starting quarterback, your Super Bowl-winning Hall of Fame starting quarterback for the rest of the season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you haven't yet voted in our Monday MVP, I guess Odell Beckham Jr. could be one of your write-in votes, but Monday MVP, still a couple hours left to vote there, and it's a really tight race as it stands right now between Julio Jones and Pat Mahomes. A lot of Eddie Pinheiro votes as well, so you can check that out either on Twitter or on Facebook, and I actually will retweet it right now on Twitter, so it's easy to find. We'll give you the candidates for Touchdown Tuesday as we head through the next few hours. I mean, that'd be stretching it out a bit, right? So the idea that the Steelers are not giving up on this season, I appreciate, though not everybody agrees with that. 855-212-4227. If you're a Steelers fan, I know that we have a lot of them that are listening in the Pittsburgh area. And Steelers fans are found around the country. And so if you have a reaction to the Ben Roethlisberger news or them giving up a first-round draft pick for an incredible player in Minkah Fitzpatrick, I'd love to hear from you. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Minkah Fitzpatrick likely will end up as a cornerback primarily with the Steelers. And again, he was unhappy at having to move around. He didn't like shifting from spot to spot in the secondary, which probably would mean he'd never be a good fit for the New England Patriots, because very often what Belichick is looking for is guys who can and will do whatever is asked and play multiple positions. That kind of popped into my brain. Unhappy with having to do multiple things, which, you know what? I guess sometimes if you take it out of a sports context, some of us have a particular role or particular task that we love at our jobs, and then our bosses will ask us to do something that we don't really love, and we're kind of annoyed at it. I mean, it's happened to me before. There are parts of the job that I love. There are other parts that I hold my nose and do just because it comes with the territory. Now, Jalen Ramsey, surprise, surprise, is asking for a trade out of Jacksonville. Now, Jacksonville's not tanking, so he can't use that as an excuse. But the fifth overall pick in 2016, who is still under his rookie contract, not only wants a new deal, but wants a new coach. He's not a big fan of Doug Marrone. And you may have seen on the sidelines during the Jaguars game on Sunday, whether or not you saw it live or you didn't, it was all over social media and every single TV network had it as part of their quote-unquote highlight package. So this was Jaguars-Texans. And there was a particular moment in the game, I don't remember exactly what juncture, but a moment in the game where Jalen Ramsey had been matched up with DeAndre Hopkins, and he wanted Marrone, Doug Marrone, to throw the flag and challenge that there was offensive pass interference. So there was no flag thrown, and he wanted Marrone to throw a flag under the new rule so that they could go back and look at it, because he felt like it should have been a penalty on Hopkins. Now, it's not the first time that Ramsey has lost his cool on the sidelines, but I do appreciate that Doug Marrone played it very cool when he was asked about it Sunday afternoon.
There's a lot of emotion in the game, I'm sure. I don't know. I can't recall. I can't even recall. I mean, it's a lot of emotion on that field playing a division game.
I appreciate that from Doug Marrone. He wasn't going to discipline Jalen Ramsey. He wasn't even going to speak to him about it, is what I heard. But Ramsey, who, let's be honest, has created many headaches for the Jacksonville Jaguars locker room in the past. Remember last year you had Jaguars defenders going ballistic in the locker room at one point, middle of the season? It was brutal. They've gone through some difficult seasons, and you can't blame it all on Blake Bortles, because at times it felt like that defense wasn't carrying its weight either. So in this particular situation, it may end up being addition by subtraction. Ramsey is really talented, but if they don't want to keep him long term and he wants out and he's going to continue to create trouble and make waves, and if he's going after his head coach, I mean, he actually went after him and they had to be separated. Dumb. How does that help? I mean, this is a guy who runs his mouth a lot. So with all the challenges that Marrone and the Jaguars are facing, might be better if they don't have this type of a firecracker. And I mean, he is the type of guy that you can set off with something small, or you think it's small, but it turns into a big deal with Jalen Ramsey. Not to mention the trash talking and the calling out other quarterbacks and offensive players and getting into scrumbles on the field and blah, 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 blah. Maybe it fits somewhere else. but I don't know that the Jaguars need it. Titans and Jaguars, by the way, are your Thursday night football competitors. That's your Thursday night football drama for week three. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see if we can quick do a call, 855-212-4227. William is listening in Baltimore. William, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
Great.
Just wanted to bring up the quarterback showdown that's going to be happening between Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. I had two questions for you. Who do you think is going to come out with more touchdowns out of that game, and who do you think is going to win?
I don't make predictions. I don't have a freaking clue who's going to win the game. I don't know. And that's why you probably don't know either, which is why you're asking me. It's a game that I would expect there would be a lot of offense, except the the Ravens. I don't know why I said Nationals. The Ravens also have an incredible defense. So the Chiefs have rebuilt their defense, and they brought in a bunch of nice pieces. I don't know that it's been tested superbly to this point. So certainly Lamar Jackson and his ability to keep defenses guessing, I think, will be a really good gauge for the Chiefs defense. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they respond. I think they have, what, 7 new starters on the defensive side of the ball. So this is a major test for them. But at the same time, I think it's also a test for that Ravens defense. And it's a game that's going to be played at Arrowhead Stadium, which is extremely difficult atmosphere for visiting teams. If you've never been there, I'm not sure if you have or not. I've been there on the field for a game, and the atmosphere is incredible. And so I think it's a good gauge for both of them. I do think that Lamar's been in enough big situations now. The Ravens last year having to play in critical games down the stretch to get to the playoffs and win the AFC North. I'm not worried about him in terms of his poise in that atmosphere. I don't think he should run the ball as much as he did on Sunday. I get that he's an incredible athlete, and he can take some pounding for sure, and he may be the best running back on the team in addition to being their starting quarterback, but I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, we just saw a bunch of QBs get hurt, and I mean, even Trevor Siemian. I know it was a late hit that was called on Myles Garrett, but Siemian was... He was hanging on to the ball, and he was outside the pocket and ends up with what looks like a broken ankle. So I just don't want that to happen to Lamar. So it could be a high-scoring affair, but it could not, just based on the fact that the Ravens have a tougher defense.
No, I completely agree with you, but it looks like he learned how to throw over the offseason.
Oh, I think he knew how to throw. It's just that they weren't asking him to throw. They were playing a different kind of game, but you don't all of a sudden learn how to throw. Definitely worked on the mechanics, and that's great, and I'm glad that he's making smart decisions. But, yeah, Lamar Jackson knew how to play the quarterback position.
Excited for this year. I'm ready. Let's go, Ravens.
Good. Awesome. Thanks so much, William. I appreciate your phone call in Baltimore. Yeah, interestingly enough, that division looks completely different after 2 weeks, right? Because the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they did start out 0-2 for just the second time in Mike Tomlin's tenure, but it's a much more difficult hole to climb out of when you don't have Ben Roethlisberger. And so with the Ravens being the defending champs in that division, the Browns now getting their first win, I think this division could be a lot of fun the rest of the way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.